Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Welcome in. This is Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also find us on ESPN Plus. This show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appearing via the Goodyear Hotline. We are not Janae or Mike Golic Jr. We are Field Yates and Alyssa Lang back at it together again. Field, it's been a while. Great to see you. Great to hear you, my friend.
It's great to be with you as well, Alyssa. And those who are watching on ESPN Plus, notice that Alyssa, who's reporting today from Charlotte, just has a standalone cut-in. Or that's just like, it's just a poster of you that will appear throughout the show. So while I am going to subject the people to having to stare at my mug for the next 3 hours, you are just coming live from Charlotte. When you're on like your eighth TV or radio show of the day, Alyssa, I'm proud and glad that you're willing to make 3 hours of your time for me today as well.
One, I hope the poster of me representing me is nice looking. Two, yeah, there's only been a few things happening in sports today. Just a few. For July 30th, it has been quite the day in sports. We will get into that over the next couple of hours, of course. The trade deadline for Major League Baseball, it's been a huge day for the entire sport. Lots of big names moving around all over the country. We're going to get into the Russ trade. The NBA draft went down last night. But before we get into all that, I want to tell like a quick story since we are on Mike Golic Jr.'s show.
Okay.
I've never done this show before. This is my first time doing the show. And I always had an idea that I would share this story whenever I got to do it. So now is the time. I feel like it needs to be public knowledge that I have a group chat with Gojo and my roommate, Trevor, and it is called the Rangoonies, and we solely send each other content about Crab Rangoon. That is it.
We don't
text about anything else in that group chat.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's amazing. I'm trying to think of the closest thing that I have in my life that comes close to that. Now, I do have one text thread where we only communicate in GIFs. That's it. You don't ever include words. You just GIF your way through a conversation. But I've never heard of a text message thread based solely around Crab Rangoons, exclusively around Crab Rangoons. And I got to be honest with you, I love Crab Rangoons.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be part of the Crab, or just the Rangoonies. I know that's a pretty exclusive club.
Yeah, if you get your application in by end of business day today, we will review it and potentially add you to the Rangoonies. So yes, I felt like this was the right time to tell the world about the Rangoonies group chat. If you have Crab Rangoon content, send it our way on Twitter. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get in to some of the news out of the NBA. Russell Westbrook, of course, traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. This was reported yesterday by Woj a couple of hours before the NBA draft. Field, I know you are an avid fan of the NBA. You follow it very closely. What was your initial reaction when you saw another blockbuster trade involving Russell Westbrook?
First of all, it's amazing to me that when Russell Westbrook signed his extension with the Thunder 3 or 4 years ago, it was like 5 years and 200 and some million dollars. And after 1 year of that contract, it was quickly labeled the least tradable contract in the NBA. By smart people, by the way. He has now been traded in back-to-back-to-back NBA off-seasons. And he is going to start a new year with a different team for the fourth straight year, which, amazingly, Alyssa, he's the third MVP, or former MVP, that will do that in the NBA in its history. Like, I was surprised that that's ever happened before, much less three times. But I've thought about this trade a lot over the past 24 or so hours. Maybe it was a little bit less than that when the trade was starting to come together. Adrian Wojnarowski all over that. And basically every piece of NBA news last night, it was quite the clinic from Woj. So here's the deal, is that there's going to always be divisive opinions with anything involving Russell Westbrook as a basketball player. In today's NBA, he has obvious strengths and he has more obvious limitations. Not a good spot-up shooter. Dominates the basketball, a guy who in his best moments can put up a triple-double without any effort, and his worst moments can take ill-advised shots repeatedly and sort of throw away offensive possessions that could be utilized much more efficiently. But I think I've taken a big step back here on this, Alyssa, and what I've realized is that the Lakers do not have zero wiggle room left going forward. But using the assets that they had in this trade, which were a first-round pick last night, number 22 overall, and then three players in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, and Montrezl Harrell. None of those players are legitimate needle movers. They're all solid players. Harrell had a terrible year for them, but still, he was a guy that last offseason was the apple of some team's eyes. That they basically took like three players that were expendable in a first-round pick and turned it into probably the best available talent that they could. I said this yesterday on the show. Like, they weren't getting Damian Lillard for that package. They weren't getting any other potentially disappointed or malcontent superstar that could become available this offseason. So I'm okay with the move in a vacuum from an asset play for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think it's pretty clear, Alyssa, they're much better in the regular season. But I think what this all to be defined by is that don't we know how this works? Like, if LeBron doesn't win a championship in a given season, it's a disappointment. So now it's championship or bust in L.A.
The Lakers now have three of the top seven active players in career points per game. Westbrook will have played with the top three on that list in Kevin Durant, LeBron, and James Harden. The big question is now, does this make the Lakers an easy favorite in the West? Before we get to that, we mentioned Woj, of course, breaking this news yesterday. He went on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin to talk more about Russ's motivation for this trade.
Russ is as unique of a player that we've seen in this generation. He plays the game in a way that's kind of goes against the grain of in this modern age, and he had a fantastic season with the Wizards last year and brought them back with Bradley Beal and got them into the postseason. And he brings a ferocity to that team, to that city. Mm-hmm. He obviously played at UCLA. He's from Southern California. He really wanted this. He wanted this to happen. And I think when the chance to go, not just go home, but go play for a championship contender. Yeah. I think that Washington team, they're going to continue building around Bradley Beal.
One stat that our fine folks at our research department at ESPN SIG put up when this trade was announced, Field, is that Westbrook is really going to be able to help the Lakers when it comes to his playmaking. Los Angeles ranked 18th in points per game created off of assists last year. Westbrook led the NBA in that category three of the last four seasons, with the exception being the year that he spent in Houston. So I'll ask you the question that I posed before, Woj. Are the Lakers now the easy favorite? Because I have to believe that LeBron isn't orchestrating these moves without knowing, all right, this is going to get us back to the NBA Finals.
All right, so it's July 30th, so I'm reserving the right to change my mind. It's still early in the NBA offseason, but I do get that being the question, because let's be clear. Many people thought the Lakers, at the end of last regular season, after they won the play-in game over the Warriors, were the favorites, even as the seventh seed, when they were facing off against the Suns, who of course would go on to win the Western Conference this past postseason. They're the favorites in the West right now, Alyssa, but I don't know that A, it's by a wide margin, and B, that title could not be taken from them very easily this offseason. The Warriors, presuming the health of Klay Thompson is back on track, could make a move that would put them at the top, over the top, close to the top. The Nuggets, they're going to be very strong once Jamal Murray returns. There are a lot of teams that have like a semi-plausible case as the favorites in the West going into the season, but there's a deference involved when you have LeBron James, and you have Anthony Davis, and now you add a player in Russell Westbrook who, even if imperfect, what he's going to provide to the Lakers that they sorely missed last year is that on nights when Anthony Davis and or LeBron James are not available, either due to injury or rest, and LeBron's not getting any younger, despite the fact that he is seemingly not human, that you have an engine that can actually control your offense. Whereas last year what we saw is that when Dennis Schroeder kind of imploded by the middle of the season and was not the player that he was in Oklahoma City the year before, that the Lakers were a team that was trying to, basically every point was like a grinded out effort. Every basket was too much energy expended for the Lakers last year, that despite their defensive excellence, their offense simply wasn't good enough. So I am 100% an advocate for the move during the regular season. As we know in the NBA postseason, the floor condenses. Every basket matters more. Every team you play, you're playing a minimum of four times. There are ways to scheme against players' vulnerabilities. That's where this trade will ultimately be measured. I have no doubt the Lakers will, assuming the three of them stay largely healthy, cruise to one of the best 2-3 records in the West next year, and probably the best overall record. But this trade will be determined by how they perform in playoff games being played in May and June.
Yeah, I was going to say this trade made the expectations for a franchise that already has high expectations even higher. So if that doesn't happen, if they don't turn one of the better seasons that we've seen, it's sure to be a disappointment. That segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up next, Chris Bryant is on his way out of Chicago. We'll tell you where he's headed. Plus, are the Dodgers now the World Series favorite with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner in the fold? Field Yates and Alyssa Lang here with you, filling in for Chené Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chené Angolik Jr., the podcast.
It's been about 18 minutes since the MLB trade deadline ended at 4 o'clock Eastern time, and there is no shortage of moves to track across Major League Baseball. You're listening to Chené Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Alongside Field Yates, I'm Alyssa Lang. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Field, it has been a game of hot potato keeping up with all of the Major League Baseball trades. We've got Chris Bryant heading to San Francisco. That one breaking really towards the end of the trade deadline. Max Scherzer, Trey Turner heading to Los Angeles. John Lester went from the Nats to the Cardinals. Javi Baez is going to the Mets. Any of these surprise you? Anyone make you look at your phone and go, hold on a second, did someone get got by a fake Twitter account or is this real?
Well, listen, I'm as prone as anybody to fall for a fake tweet, so don't hold against me if I'm retweeting, you know, Adarn Schefter or Jeff Passan at some point. Or it's so easy to mispronounce Woj's last name, even when it's the real account, that, like, you know, there are so many different ways that you can create a fake Woj account. So trust me, I've fallen victim to plenty of those in my day. But one thing I will say is that nothing so far has been surprising per se, because all these moves were, you know, the names that have been moved, as you mentioned, Max Scherzer traded to Los Angeles Dodgers. There was momentum towards him going to the Padres yesterday. Chris Bryant gone. Craig Kimbrell gone. Anthony Rizzo gone, all from the Cubs. The fire sale was very much a part of the Cubs' strategy. It's not that they were surprising, but they're still they're still shocking in some ways, right? Only because you think about the run that the Cubs put together, specifically with both Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo as the heart and soul of that team that broke the snap, the streak, the spell, the 100-year curse, right? So, my general thoughts are that, A, it's weird to see the Cubs basically blown up into smithereens right now, and B, this trade deadline's been incredible.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about every previous trade deadline in MLB history, but this is by far the most active we've ever had. I mean, Jeff Passan's Twitter account is going to melt at the end of this trade deadline, which I think actually passed 20 minutes ago. But as you know, you sometimes find out about these trades minutes after the deadline has actually passed. Jeff Passan, good on you, my friend. What an absolutely wild day. The NL West by itself, Alyssa, if you just took the NL West and isolated that as the only division that would play games for the rest of the year, I'd tune in just to watch the Dodgers and the Giants and the Padres go at it for, I don't know how many games left in the MLB season. Let's call it 50 more games. I would watch them play each other every night for the final 2 months of the season to determine the World Series champion, because those three teams are loaded right now. Yeah, I could see, you know, I could see Jeff be a little hopped up on Mountain Dew as well. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that. I just, you know, you got to balance your palate a little bit these days. I tried to curb my coffee consumption earlier this summer. Didn't work out so well.
Yeah,
Alyssa,
I'll
but
never.
I gave it an effort. But yeah, I mean, I think normally during a deadline, a trade deadline, what tends to happen is a team or two teams makes a move or moves that sort of cements their status as the team that is the team to beat. What I think that today underscored is that while there are probably, you know, there are a couple teams that I think would like to believe they're the best in baseball right now, the amount of teams that were making plays today for huge, notable acquisitions underscores this is a chance to be the most competitive end of the baseball season that we have seen in quite some time. In the AL East alone, you've got four teams that are buyers. The Red Sox, Rays, Blue Jays, and Yankees. They're all buyers. The Central is all but done. The Twins, the White Sox are running away with that. But the White Sox were buyers as well. They made a cross-town rivalry trade with the Chicago Cubs. The West, you've got a pair of teams in the Astros and the A's that fancy themselves to be in the mix. You're going to have, that's I think I just named seven AL teams on their own that are like really in the mix here. Like, that's impressive. And then you go to the NL, and same deal. You've got like seven teams. The Mets, who, despite the fact that the Mets would be in fourth place in the NL West, are still making significant moves these past couple of days, which includes trading for Javi Baez from the Cubs. Like, every team, not every team, but almost half the MLB thinks they have a legitimate chance to win the World Series this year. One thing that I think we learned, and again, I cover the NFL, so I sort of view things through that prism, is that when the Chiefs did not repeat this past year, and so many, myself included, thought they would at the beginning of last season, it reminded us that teams feeling like the conclusion to the year is not an inevitability can be good for the sport. In the NBA, having the Bucks win this year, no matter who you're rooting for, is good because it reminds team that with a couple of good maneuvers here and there, maybe some fortune along the way, you can win the prize of your league. The MLB is more open than ever, and in a sport that has recently struggled to generate the kind of popularity that it once held in our country, I have a feeling that there's a chance this end of the baseball season will have as much compelling information and as many compelling storylines as we've had in quite some time. The trade deadline shook up half the league, Alyssa, and basically every team in the MLB, whether you are buying or selling, has a clear direction, and that's good for the business of baseball.
I am just still salivating over what the Dodgers are going to look like this upcoming season. Once everyone returns from the IL, every player in the Dodgers' projected everyday lineup outside of their 26-year-old catcher, Will Smith, is a former All-Star. That is insane. That is insane. It's going to be fun to watch, certainly for Dodgers fans who now have very high expectations after a blockbuster day of trades with the trade deadline ending at 4 o'clock. You're listening to ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles, you can give them a call at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All right, we've talked basketball, we've talked baseball, but yeah, there's plenty more to break down when it comes to the NBA. Does the addition of Russell Westbrook make the Lakers the favorites in the West? We'll get more into that. Plus, NFL training camp's been going down the last couple of days. We'll hit that later in the show. But first, Field, what do you have for us from Barbasol?
Well, let me tell you what I have you. What I have for you, Alyssa. In 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no brush, no lather, no rub-in shaving cream. Today, we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, a culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. This new non-aerosol shaving cream is fortified with aloe, coconut oil, and shea butter to soothe and protect your skin. Paired with a fresh and calming fragrance, this ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. Learn more at Barbasol.com.
You just sold me on it. He's Field Yates. I'm Alyssa Lang, filling in for Chinay and Golic Jr., listening to ESPN Radio. More after the break.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
What a bad time to be an LA sports fan. With the Russ trade, the Dodgers adding Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, plenty to talk about out in L.A. Welcome back. This is Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN+. Plus, alongside Field Yates, I'm Alyssa Lang. We're going to head out to the phone lines where we find George Sedano, who's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. George, thanks for joining the show. Plenty to talk about on your stomping grounds out there. Let's start with Russ. That went down yesterday, obviously shook the NBA world ahead of the draft. Does this automatically make the Lakers favorites in the West for the upcoming season?
Alyssa Field, thanks for having me on. Look, I think that they were favorites as long as LeBron and AD were healthy in the Western Conference, in my estimation. I do think this experiment with Russell Westbrook will be fascinating on a number of different levels because Well, and again, I want to caution people because the roster is not complete yet. There's still a long way to go before we see the rest of this roster. But I am curious to see the rest of it because, you know, Russ does one thing really well, which is score the basketball. Now, he doesn't do that proficiently from three-point land. He's one of the worst three-point shooters from the two-guard position we may have ever had in the history of the league. Now, here's the thing. LeBron has plenty of experience playing with a player similar to Russell Westbrook, not saying that that's the exact same player, in future Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade. David Fizdale is now the assistant coach in Los Angeles since Jason Kidd's departure. So he's on Frank Vogel's staff. Fizdale was the assistant coach to Eric Spoelstra in Miami when LeBron and Wade and Bosch were together. So I would imagine there's been some discussions about how the playbook offensively will look like. But I do think Russ will help them. This team, when LeBron sat last year, okay, here's the big difference. When LeBron was in the lineup, they were the second-best offense in the NBA. Any minutes he sat or any time he was out, they were the 28th best offense in the NBA. Russ will help there for sure, which they needed. And I do think that if there's anyone that can make this stuff work, it's LeBron.
Talking with the great George Sedona. You can hear him on your radio in 710 LA. You can see him on your television doing sideline reports or NBA games. He is Mr. Versatility. George, you mentioned that this roster is not yet complete. But do you believe that the rest of the offseason will be more about sort of window dressing for the Lakers, or is there another substantial card left for them to play? We know they sniffed around a Buddy Hield trade yesterday, ultimately went with the Russell Westbrook direction. But is there more that this team can do other than kind of bringing back some of the pieces that have been contributors but not stars for their roster?
Field, I still think we can see more from them. And by the way, until the trade window is closed, they can still potentially amend this deal. They did that a couple of years ago. Actually, now that I think about it, it feels like a couple of years ago because of the pandemic. But yeah, two seasons ago, where they amended the Anthony Davis trade. If you recall, they sent a couple of players to Washington at the end. So it's not to say that this one particular deal is done. Again, it still can be amended as long as the window is open for them to make deals and the league year hasn't necessarily been closed at this point as far as the window for free agency and trades. So I still think there's a possibility they could add, I'm not saying Buddy Hield, but a player of that kind of caliber, right? I still think, though, beyond that, to your point earlier, it may be window dressing. Every year in the NBA, there are veteran players who are looking to play for a championship-caliber team that will go there and fill a particular role. We saw it with the Lakers this year. We saw it the previous year when they won a championship. We saw it with Brooklyn, right? I just think that there's always a handful of teams or so that are going to be teams that are attractive to those type of players who have been around for a while. They're looking to utilize their specific skill set to augment a championship caliber team, whether it's a shooter, a defender, or a combination of thereof, right? So I do think that they could have a big move in them still. They also have the Dennis Schroeder situation. They can utilize him in a sign and trade. He wants $30 million. I don't see the Lakers doing that, especially now after Russell Westbrook ended up in Los Angeles. So I could see them still utilizing Schroeder as a key cog in getting another key player or players on this roster.
We're talking with George Sedona of 710 ESPN LA on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's switch gears to baseball, George. The Dodgers, of course, adding Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. How high are your expectations now? How high are fan expectations as far as talking about the next World Series?
So let me give you a little history on the Dodgers pre-Andrew Friedman, pre this particular ownership group. They had the McCourt group owning this particular team, and while they were successful in winning divisions and whatnot, there was always the watching of the purse strings. And Andrew Friedman came here from the Tampa Bay Rays, where he built a team that went to the World Series in 2009, and came to the Dodgers, had to kind of clean up the books a little bit, and since then has done the similar job he did in Tampa Bay by building an incredible farm system. And not only did he utilize that farm system to augment the current roster, but he has now, over the last several years, as you've seen, utilized those prospects to grab himself some star caliber players, Mookie Betts being the guy most recently. And now you see it with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. They've added two top 15 players in Major League Baseball in Turner and Scherzer. And as crazy as this is going to sound, as a team that won the World Series and has got like a 99.4% chance of making the playoffs, they need it because their pitching rotation, while it looked really deep before the season started, is no longer as deep. Dustin May is hurt. He won't be back. And Trevor Bauer, we don't know the likelihood of his return, and there's a possibility he may not. So adding Scherzer to this mix with Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler and Julio Urias, who's been fantastic for them, cements that rotation. And then they just add another fantastic everyday player. So this is a team that is not just content on winning their first world championship in 32 years. They want to continue building upon this window.
You know, George, I there's no issue with acquiring Trey Turner. Kind of caught me a little bit surprised just because I didn't perceive shortstop as either a short or long-term need for the Dodgers. This is a high society problem, but what might the future look like for Trey Turner, and how might it impact other contract negotiations the Dodgers are going to eventually have?
Well, here's the deal. Corey Seager is an upcoming free agent. So I think that in essence, is a nice fallback plan, right? A nice backup plan for them if Seager departs in free agency for one reason or another. So, and look, they may look at Seager's injury history, and it's getting longer, and they may say, we're only willing to go so far with Corey Seager. Now, look, Seager is also a guy who's played multiple positions in the infield. He's played third base. He's played second base. He's certainly played shortstop. I do think that they've got some maneuverability there. And I think Turner can play multiple positions as well in the infield.
I think it's safe to say the expectations will be high with all of the all-stars now on this team. But as George put it, it was necessary to add a lot of that talent as the trade deadline ended 4 o'clock Eastern time today. He is George Sedano. You can hear him on 710 ESPN LA. George, thanks so much for joining us.
Alyssa Field, great to hear your voices. I'll be listening and tuning in. Keep doing a great job.
You're the man, George.
We appreciate him as always. And we've got plenty more coming up on Chené and Golic Jr. If there's any list that I want to be on, it is a list of Field Yates' best of. And he's going to give us our 2021 NBA draft winners from last night. Alongside Field Yates, I'm Alyssa Lang, filling in for Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I talk over this song, Field. It's too good.
It's one of the rules in life. You just don't do it.
I would love if you sang along, though.
I'm going to spare. You know, I'd
if
like
you
to stay
go
married.
If you want to go take a ride with me. Oh, okay.
I'm sure
maybe
my wife
I should.
Would approve, which I'm sure my wife is listening to this right now. She's at a bachelorette party. I'm sure she's just totally focused in on us.
She's definitely listening to this show on her bachelorette party. Not her bachelorette party, on the bachelorette party, 100%. For sure.
I got to figure there are a few things in life that I'm certain of, but that would be one of them, Alyssa Lang.
You're listening to Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus alongside Field Yates. I'm Alyssa Lang. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Field, last night, the whole sports world was locked in to the 2021 NBA draft. Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State, no surprise, was off the board first, went to the Detroit Pistons and won the fan base over by putting the shades on in his post-draft interview and saying, Detroit, I am ready, I am coming for you. But of course, there's plenty to break down when it comes to our new batch of NBA players. And I want to know from you, who are the winners? Who did the best as far as their new group of players? Who did you like? Maybe who did you not like? We'll start on the positive.
Yeah, so for those that didn't listen to yesterday's show, You made a terrible decision because you missed 3 hours of Electric Radio with myself and Mike Golic Jr., one of the co-hosts of the show, during a normal day. But I ran a couple of draft promos. I had four players that I highlighted that I really liked. And they're all sort of different types of players, whether it was more polished, more ready to be a superstar, guys who were projects. But of those four players, the Orlando Magic, who had two picks in the top eight, selected two of them. First, Jalen Suggs, number five overall, out of Gonzaga, which I was surprised he fell to them at pick five, but Toronto ended up going with Scotty Barnes, fourth overall out of Florida State, and then Franz Wagner, younger brother of Mo Wagner, a former first-round pick of his own in the NBA. Two players that I think not only can give them minutes right away, which the Magic don't really need, but are going to be huge pieces of their foundation going forward. And the Magic are a team that's looking for some sort of identity. There isn't a single player on their roster right now that you say to yourself, that's a true, undisputed, superstar building block player. They've got nice pieces, no doubt. And they've either got players who have flaws to their game, limitations to their game, or players that maybe haven't met expectations as of yet. However, I do think last night they may have acquired two building block pieces, and Magic fans, and there are, I know you're out there, they have something to feel good about going forward with, I think, two building blocks in a matter of, 30 or so minutes drafted separately last night. So super excited about them. I just love Jalen Suggs. I think there's a chance, not a guarantee, a chance he could wind up as the best player in this year's draft.
Yeah, I was surprised when Suggs fell to them. And as you said, there are definitely Orlando Magic fans out there. I lived in the state of Florida for about 3 years, so some of my good friends are Magic fans, and they were very excited, to your point, Field. The Magic are one of those teams that for the last couple of years, it's like, okay, here's a piece. There's a piece there. Are we going to get over the hump? And maybe this year's batch of new players helps them get back into the conversation. All right, you have two more winners from last night. Who's our next one?
Yeah, next one is a team that needed a win last night because they traded away one of the best players in the NBA earlier in this season. That was the Houston Rockets. And you have the number two overall pick, you should land a potential impact player, which is what they did with Jalen Green, the 18-year-old from the G League, a guy who dressed for the occasion, that much is for sure. Did you happen to see his outfit last night, Alyssa?
Incredible. No? All the outfits are always incredible, but yeah, his was great.
Right, he was rocking the bell-bottoms and the fro. It was all kinds of excellent. It was sort of throwback, too. Like, how many 18-year-olds even know what bell-bottoms are, much less can rock them on the biggest stage of their career up to that point? But a guy who athletically is off the charts, has a year of professional basketball underneath him, which is good. And it may take a little while, but you think the Rockets have patience. I mean, you think the Magic have patience. The Rockets have more patience than anybody, but they may have landed a player who, in short order, could be the face of their franchise, which is looking for one after the trade away of James Harden last season. But then, later in the first round, 16th overall, took a player in Alperen Şengün, a big man who was the Turkish Basketball League MVP.
Great pronunciation.
Oh, yeah, I've been working on that one for a while. And Şengün, so the Turkish Basketball League is, as Seth Greenberg reminded us yesterday, it's the third best professional league in the world. For him to win the MVP at the age of 18 is very, very impressive. He's old school. He's got some serious passing ability as well. Looking forward to that. And finally, we've talked about this trade already, the Washington Wizards, I thought, did really well, Alyssa. I think best case scenario in terms of what they acquired in the Russell Westbrook trade was what they ended up landing. They did not land a couple of players that are going to end up being 10-year key cogs for them, but they also did not take on any additional salary. They ended up with an extra draft pick out of the Washington Wizards last night, acquitted themselves very well. I love the NBA draft. It was wild last night. I'm super happy that it's behind us because now we get to look forward to seeing these players in their new homes. But that was a great night for the NBA.
A ton of talent across the board. And if you make Field Yates 2021 NBA draft winners list, you are in very good shape. Yes. Coming up next, which MLB deadline trade will have the biggest impact in October? That's coming up next. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.